forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense, common knowledge, or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do, but only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast, now part of the Finding Genius Foundation. My guest is Chase Tuning. He's a podcast host of Ever Forward Radio. And we're going to talk about items that he works on in the fitness industry, like nutrition, mindset, et cetera. So welcome, Chase.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. And lots of et cetera. I love all things wellness and human optimization. So few key concepts for sure. But yeah, life is definitely in the et cetera.
Okay. So yeah, why? Like, what's a bit about your background? How did you come to, I guess, love and embrace fitness? What was your life like? Was there a before, or have you always been like this? Like, what's your background?
Kind of twofold. I feel like it always was like this growing up, a very active kid, oldest of three, living more or less in the mountains, you know, kind of growing up on a few hundred acres, actually. So I was always active, always running around, always outside, playing sports, even through school. And then I decided to, I guess, put myself in the most active job right out of high school. I wound up enlisting in the Army for 6 years back in 2003. I was active duty from 03 to 09. So it was my lifestyle. It was what I knew to be my norm. It's what I enjoyed. And then I kind of had what I think maybe a lot of other people have that come to find fitness, so to speak. They have a significant injury or a physical setback or just a major setback in life that forces them to really have to revisit some fundamentals in terms of movement, of finding newfound appreciation for your body and strength. And long story short, for me, that was a career-ending injury in the Army that became my new catalyst. I really realized that I was just kind of taking the body for granted. And at any moment, you know, it can be snapped up quite literally. And so after going through some pretty gnarly injuries, had both of my hips completely reconstructed, major injury in my back and torn hamstring, and wound up ultimately getting medically discharged from the military because of it, I was like, you know what? There's got to be more out there. I'm on the rehab program from the doctors and the physical therapist, but I don't know, maybe I was too eager or second guessing, but I just knew there was more that I could be doing. And I knew that there was more I wanted to do for my physical well-being and just for this next phase of life. I was 24 and literally disabled. I left the military with my cane in the back seat and a wheelchair on the top of my SUV. And 3 weeks later, I'm this guy hobbling around campus back in Richmond, Virginia, signing up for exercise science. And that's what I did. I just committed to learning the human body, learning biomechanics, exercise physiology, fitness, nutrition, and fell in love with it. And quite literally, I think, gave me a big part of my life back and fell in love with it for that reason, but also as a new profession. And that's when I found myself getting into the health and fitness and wellness space as a trainer, as a certified health coach, as a clinical health coach, and even wellness director for a string of concierge medical practices back over on the East Coast.
So what did this evolve into? Like, what is the purpose of the radio show? Is it to help other people with their fitness, or, you know, have you focused just on your own, or like, where is this gone?
So I have this mantra that I live my life by, and it's one that was modeled to me and my family and our community by my late father. And he even picked it up from his time in the military. He was an Army guy himself. And it's two words, ever forward. And it's something that I heard him say and watched him live up until literally his dying breath when he passed away about 19 years ago from a terminal illness. And, you know, it's no matter what, we have the ability, should we choose to move forward. It's all in our mind, no matter what the setback is. And I really wanted to embody that in a way to honor his legacy and to help me move forward as I was kind of getting stuck in my life in a period of poor mental health. And I needed to latch onto something, and I needed to do it for my own health, but also at the time that was my career. So I was always looking for ways to give new ways to my audience on social media, to my clients, my patients in clinic, that, you know, there's a lot we can do with a good workout plan or a good nutrition plan, or just, you know, what is the thing that we need to do so that I can get the results that I want. But a lot of times it's, like I said earlier, it's in that et cetera. It's in our mindset. It's in our hearts. It's in our emotions. It's in our memories. It's in our joy and frustrations of the whole experience. And no matter what, should we choose to move forward in it, we will find the way, a way to move forward in it. And so I decided to kind of make that the torch and carry it on through Ever Forward Radio. And in every conversation I have with somebody now, it is looking for that through line, really unique aspects of the multifacetedness that is the human experience, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual well-being. And how can I take what you do and what is your way of moving forward and living a life ever forward and helping my audience understand that in a new way?
So what does that translate into? Do you do consulting for people, or is that what you're just trying to impart through your program or your radio station, or what do you mean?
Yeah, so Ever Forward Radio is what I do full time. I've been running the show a little over 7 years now, and after leaving my last position as that health coach and wellness director, I did for the next about 2 years run a online health coaching company where I worked one-on-one and did group, you know, remote training, kind of helping people change total lifestyle and behavior modification. And then I decided to commit to one or the other. Both were growing and I was loving both. It was called Ever Forward Coach. I was loving Ever Forward Radio. I was about 2 years old at that time and I needed to commit, and I committed to the podcast. And so I've been doing it full time ever since 2019. And that's how I help people. That's what I do. And that's how, thankfully so, you know, that's how I make my living.
So what, the radio show advertisers supported, or, you know, what's the, if you're up for, you know, you're open to saying it, what's the business model?
Yeah. So it's, you know, just like, you know, any other podcast you hear with ads or even traditional radio, we sell airspace. You know, I find brands, products, services, people that really help my wellness, that help my focus, my productivity, my metabolic health, my, you know, really any which way that propels me forward in life and is a tool and an advantage. I try to partner with brands that can help do that the same for my audience. And so we'll have, you know, supplements, services, labs, continuous glucose monitors, nootropics, CBD companies, performance and training supplements, you know, a lot of different things. And then we'll, you know, partner with them on the show. And, you know, this episode is brought to you by blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we run the code, we run the discount. And that's how I keep the lights on over here.
All right. And what are some of the interesting archetypes of people that you see? You know, there are people grouped into a few different struggles that they have for starting the workout or maintaining a workout. Or, you know, most people say, oh, everyone's different. But from what I've seen pretty much in every industry and for everything that people, you know, desire, there's only so many flavors of trouble or decision or, you know, method. So what do you see?
You know, I think ultimately at the end, we're all more or less the same. We all come to this realization for whatever reason that we want more for ourselves. We want more for our bodies. We want, you know, maybe it's starting off, we want to get back. You know, I want to get back to the body I had before kids. I want to get back to the body I had in college, or I want to get, you know, back to this shape or this level of feeling good or whatever. For others, it's just, you know, kind of like me, like, I don't want to accept where I'm at right now, you know, for whatever external circumstance, I've had a setback. You know, maybe I'm going through depression and I recognize that my physical health is going to really help me get through this mental health struggle. Or maybe I just, you know, accepting the fact that I've let this part of my life slide. I've prioritized other things that might have had their time and place, but I'm beginning to feel that trade-off. My energy is low. My relationships are suffering. My sleep is inconsistent. I can't keep up the way that I used to. My body composition is changing. I'm doing all these other things, but it's not really working the same way. So for me, ultimately, when I was working with people as a coach or in just in conversation now with guests on the show, it's, you know, we all have that. We ultimately are there. So it's just great. I think it's great news for people because you can kind of take your reason aside. No matter what the thing is that you believe is in your way to the life that you want, at the end, we all make the same next step. We all recognize it, and then we all choose to act in spite of it. We choose to act because of it, which I think is pretty damn empowering. So no matter what the reason is that I am not where I want to be or feel the way that I know that I can feel or can or have felt before or look the same way, it just comes down to, am I going to do anything about it? And what do I want to keep doing about it? And fundamentals work. consistency works. Again, no matter the reason, no matter the goal, if you can commit small, incremental, consistent steps and small, incremental, consistent promises to yourself, you are going to one day wake up and look back and like, holy hell, I am
like,
down
what
this
if,
path.
No idea. What if I'm 40 years old and I've never worked out before? What would be a possible plan for me?
I'm starting to feel aches and pains.
I started to feel aches and pains. I'm just, I feel like I'm getting old before my time, that kind of stuff. I'm sure you heard that a lot. So what would you tell someone like that? They never worked out. And like you said, they're not feeling good.
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on Support Us. We have 3 levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click Support Us today. Now back to the show.
Well, I would say to that person, I think the go-to of, oh, I guess I should start working out because I feel this way, isn't necessarily what you have to do. It isn't even necessarily what you should do. And in fact, I would say, particularly to that person, if you're 40 years old, you've never worked out before, you've never exercised regularly, and you have these feelings in your body and your mind that, you know, you don't like, and you think exercise is what you need to do to make them better or go away, that might necessarily be true. And more specifically, a lot of people believe that to be true and just jump head first all in, and they can't keep it up. You know, they injure themselves because they've never worked out before. They get so sore, they never want to come back to a workout. They develop this poor relationship with it. But I would say start with what you can do and really honestly do yourself a favor and start small. Be gentle with your new approach. Take a walk. If you can find a way daily 4 or 5 times a week to take a minimum 20-minute, ideally 40-minute walk, do that for 30 days. Show yourself that you can make a promise, commit to it, and also just begin to get your body primed for the new you stress, the positive stress that you're going to put on it by maybe ramping up and going to the gym or getting a trainer or just at-home workouts. Be gentle. Make a small promise to yourself. And for most people looking to, you know, lose a little bit of weight and optimize energy, walking is one of the most overlooked tools. If you can do it, like I said, that sweet spot is at least 20, ideally 40 minutes, most days of the week. Give yourself a month, look at the results and how you look and how you feel.
Okay. I mean, no specifics or, you know, I guess you get into trouble if there's specifics or, you know, what else could you say to someone like that?
I would also really prioritize sleep. I would say as much as possible every day of the week, or again, a 30-day snapshot is very fair. Try to commit to going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time, Monday through Sunday. That coupled with what's, you know, walking, really the secret sauce here, it's called low intensity, steady state training, which we call in the exercise science world LIST. And so that coupled with sleep, for most people who are, for lack of, you know, there's no major injury or no other health concern going on, lack of daily regular movement and lack of consistent sleep are really going to be things that most likely have the largest contributing factor to things like poor energy, poor libido, holding on to body fat more. I promise you those two things are going to really set you straight. On top of that, it's really whatever you like to do. Again, if you feel like going to the gym is going to be a very begrudging task, play around. Maybe it's just, you know, going to a public park that has exercise equipment. Maybe it's getting a jump rope. Maybe it's 1 or 2 pieces of at-home equipment that you really like that are affordable. Find something, play around with methods, and whatever you enjoy for the most part, you know, not all exercise all the time for most of us is always enjoyable. So whatever you feel kind of this natural tendency to, whatever you like and can keep that up, really stick that out. And then you can fine tune. Once you can show yourself that I like to do this, I can do this, I have been doing it, you know, then there's your opportunity to really fine tune and go, all right, maybe let me find the professional in this modality. Let me get a trainer to help me out in this particular type of workout. Let me go down the rabbit hole of what I can do to, you know, really give me the secret sauce for this form of training. I think that's where people get themselves in trouble. They try to jump in too fast, too soon with what is the secret sauce. They're denying the human experience along the way. They need to enjoy it. They need to keep coming back to it for it to work.
Maybe what if they don't enjoy it at first? What if they need to go through a period of, you know, being uncomfortable and sweating and hurting and all that, and in order to get to the point where their body is used to it and they feel better?
That is a thing. That absolutely is a thing. I mean, and especially with this, we'll say, subject we're talking about, 40 years old, never worked out before, low energy. You know, I think I said, maybe not you, you know, overweight or just unideal, non-ideal body composition. Your body's going to hate you for it. It's going to be like, why are you doing this to me? You're going to feel winded. You're going to feel defeated. You're most likely going to have extreme muscle soreness for the first few weeks. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be enjoyable. And this is where it's the mental game first. It's where you have to make that promise to yourself that you know this is not going to be enjoyable, but what you want on the other side of this unpleasant experience far outweighs whatever you have to endure. And this is just short term. And that's where I would really recommend the most is you have to kind of just go play the mind game first and accept the physical is going to be difficult. And then there's going to come a moment you're going to realize through your workout, wow, I'm not as winded, or wow, I thought I was going to be way more sore for this. And you kind of get that positive feedback pretty quickly.
All right. So what are maybe other common archetypes you get, people that are saying, help me, and they're in a very similar situation to many others?
I think people compare a lot. They will see someone, oh, he is just like me. You know, we're like the same race, same age, similar backgrounds. We're kind of just comparing the outside. You know, he or she looks kind of like me. And they are saying that they look like this because of these things that they have done. They adopted this diet. They found this biohack. They swear by this exercise type or this class or whatever. And yet, to some degree, with some of the similar or same variables, one could go, yeah, you know what? If this person, if you all are like in a lot of other areas, maybe this type of workout or approach to wellness could give you similar results. But that's where when we don't get the same or similar results, where we get even more defeated and we kind of develop this grudge between other people. And I think develops this really negative outlook on life and social media and, you know, even relationships. And it's not really fair. You know, it's not really fair for these people to, for, you know, reasons unbeknownst to them, are having this unfair advantage placed on them. They're being compared. They're being judged. They're being misunderstood, really. And it's just because we have not yet aligned ourselves with a reason and a modality that is for us because of us. So comparison is a very, very slippery slope. And there's a quote, I forget who said it, around comparison that I think even supersedes the physical transformation we're after with exercise like this. And that's, comparison is the thief of joy. And that really brings me back to, if you can do something that you like to do for you, eventually you will develop a relationship to it that absolutely has a level of joy to it. So without it, you're robbing yourself of joy, but really robbing potential relationships of that joy as well, if you're staying in comparison.
So what does that mean? When you do your workout, you should note where you're at, height, weight, maybe some other biomarkers, and use that to tell yourself if you're successful or not? The change
in everything? Yeah, that depends as well. I think for some people, that method really works. And I remember a lot of past clients of mine, they were very, you know, type A, worked with a lot of high performance executives, and that worked for them. They're like, hey, where's my starting point? What are the quote unquote good ranges that I should be in? What are the optimized ranges? You know, what does that kind of more quantified plan look like? And what are those quantified units of measure for success look like for someone like me? Hey, my age, height, weight, these labs, these biomarkers, am I good? No. Okay, cool. What's the plan? Got it. What is good? You know, when will I know I'm getting there? That, I think, is a very personal kind of dance, especially if you're working with a coach or a trainer. A good coach or trainer should be able to really recognize that in you and, you know, really build a plan around you and for you, but it's almost like matching your personality type. Otherwise, for most other people, it doesn't really work. And one example comes to mind with a past patient I had in my last clinic, who, she was very, very active, had a lot of joy. She was finding ways to, you know, start playing tennis again, weaving into her normal workout routine. And she loved tennis and hadn't played it for years. And, you know, she came back after a short vacation, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 days, kind of a long weekend thing. And she was at the tail end of her workout program. program and was telling me that she really, for the last like 2 weeks, had kind of just mostly been playing tennis because it was working and she loved it. And we had her step onto the scale. We used a 7-point body composition analysis machine to measure muscle fat, body fat mass, get your basal metabolic rate, which is really just at rest in a 24-hour period. How much does your body burn in terms of calories? And the numbers changed in a very, very slight way, but it sent her spiraling. Her total weight had gone up maybe a couple pounds. I mean, literally quite 1 to 2 pounds. But her body composition, it kind of shifted. She had gone down slightly in muscle mass and gone up slightly in body fat mass. And just seeing those numbers and seeing your muscle went down, your fat went up for this woman who was in early 50s, who had no real health reason to need to lose weight. She was in a very healthy weight in general. It began to make her cry. And she was just so, she felt so defeated. And so the quantified stuff didn't work well for her at all. But when we went back to, okay, hey, you know what? Next check-in, we're not going to use this because we have actually a year up to this point showing within a certain range, you are very healthy for someone your age, height, weight. And what's more important here is that you have found something that works. You have found a way. She was an executive, working mom, busy traveler, great partner. And so she had found a way to finally kind of take back her time and was weaving in tennis, something that she loved to do, into these other workouts and the rest of her life. And that joy and showing herself that she could find something that she loved to do and actually was good for her was pouring over into all these other areas of her life. She said that her work was better. Her and her husband were in a great place. She was now playing tennis with her kids, so she was connecting with them in a new level. So that's just a great example of how the same unit of measure or the same goal might not work for two different people.
Well, was she able to overcome it, or did this ruin everything for her?
Oh, absolutely. We really, I think, at that point, had her step back onto the body composition scale once more over the next many months. Yeah. And so she was able to walk out more empowered about what I want to do and why versus just a number on a scale, just because I fit into some criteria.
Mm. So, I mean, there's I guess some people it works for, some people it doesn't, but feeling works better for some and then numbers work better for others, depending on the personality type.
Absolutely. And I would even take it a step further and say at the end of the day, they're both the same thing. The people that care more about the numbers, the people that care more about the quantified self, it's because of the feeling they have when they see those numbers. It all comes down to our feeling, to what motivates us, what keeps us adherent in our health and wellness. It's just a matter of what gets us there. Most people, I find a lot of people, I think, are more just the general feeling. You know what? I'm not trying to be a bodybuilder. I'm not trying to lift a car. I'm not trying to, you know, get into downward facing dog for 15 minutes. I just want to play with my kids. I want to grab groceries and not hurt my back. I want to have energy. I want to wake up and feel like I love life. I want to just get through the day. And for most people, it's that feeling that we're really associated to and we're really looking for. And then for the other people that are like, no, what are the numbers? Give me the good, the bad. What's the optimized? Boom, boom, boom. It's because once they see that they're achieving it, their feeling is a level of accomplishment and happiness and joy in their own way that all the rest of us have to begin with.
So why is so much of the advertising about numbers? Lose 5 pounds in 5 days.
Oh, because the numbers sell. That's sexy, right? You know, to hear, you know, it catches our attention very quickly. And to hear, oh, wow, this workout, this pack, this supplement, this whatever can deliver X amount of results in X amount of days. We don't need to think about it. It does all the thinking for us. We have been delivered what is the problem. We've been given a method to solve that problem. And not only that, hey, here are the exact results that X amount of other people experience doing the exact same thing. So that just takes a lot of the thinking out of it for us. That, you know, we're humans and we have these brains that are incredibly intelligent and perform a bajillion, trillion, zillion different functions. In fact, the brain is the highest performing organ in the body. It consumes about 25 to even upwards of 27%, some data shows, of our total daily calories. So if you were to just lay there for a day and do absolutely nothing, the calories your body burns, 25%, a fourth of all your energy is just by your brain. And it's not even something we like actively use, you know, it's not contracting muscles or standing up, sitting down. And so when it can get a moment of rest and it can just hear something, see something, process something without needing to burn any extra fuel, that's what it's gonna do all day long. It's just kind of unfortunate for us that it being a well-oiled machine turns into maybe a slippery slope for our decision-making process for what we wanna do with our lives and what we deem to be the best way to get there.
So what is, I don't know, what if you were going to, well, you do, you, if you were to market for a fitness plan, How would it look different from the way fitness plans are currently marketed to be more effective? It wouldn't get everybody, probably impossible, but what would it have?
Well, I think no matter if you put a room of the 20 most highly sought after, you know, exercise science, exercise physiology, metabolic health, you know, professionals, I don't think even they would boil down to, yep, we all agree on this, except for maybe this, what I would propose. Now, the plan would have to vary, but I believe this is a fundamental fact for all humans. Building a plan, building a lifestyle around strength training is probably the best thing anyone could do if we're boiling it down to what is a fitness plan, what is the best fitness plan for people. And that's because, well, a couple different reasons. One, strength is very, very important. And when I say strength, I don't mean, you know, we all don't need to walk up to a barbell and deadlift 500 pounds. As we age, maintaining particularly leg strength is one of the strongest correlating factors to decrease in longevity, an increase in all-cause mortality and chronic illness and disease. And it's because when we reach a point in life, as we age, where we no longer have the leg strength, the quadricep hamstring strength, to do something as simple as go from a seated position in a chair or a couch to standing without any assistance, without putting our hands down, pushing off the couch or anything like that, that is one of the biggest markers for, hey, we're doing something wrong here. And it's because they're our largest muscle groups. And there's a whole nother rabbit hole we could go down of, you know, why is that important? Well, it's because our muscles are the largest storers of our first energy supply of glucose, glycogen, of, you know, this thing called, you know, ATP. And that's because mitochondria are stored in our muscles, and the bigger the muscles, the more mitochondria we're going to have or not have. But beyond that, you know, I would say just again, focusing on strength training. So even body weight can do wonders. You just need to activate large muscle groups as often as possible. I think building, if you're going to incorporate resistance training, that could be a dumbbell, that could be a free weight, a handheld weight, a kettlebell, a cable, you know, even bands, resistance bands, anything you can do to add a load to a muscle group and have that load work in a full complete range of motion against gravity is going to do wonders for maintaining that strength. And at first, you're really getting the central nervous system connected. You're getting your brain and your central nervous system to go out and to connect to that activated muscle group and do what is called, you know, innervating muscle fibers. And what you're really doing is getting your nervous system primed and more able to innervate as many muscle fibers as possible to work against that load. That could be to pick up the dumbbell or pick up the bag of groceries. But once you do that for many repetitions, many times over a period of time, you get another kind of strength. You get hypertrophy. Your muscles hypertrophize. I just made that up. but they begin to build. And so the more muscle you have, you develop more strength. But also, you know, having that is a really strong foundation to longevity. So we don't really need to all be bodybuilders. We don't need to be walking around with massive biceps or anything like that, but maintaining strength for daily function and independence is crucial. And the more muscle that we can maintain also does wonders to increase our metabolism. We're, you know, burning more calories in general in the background, and the better our metabolism is functioning, the better we function in general. The more muscle we have compared to body fat mass, we are most likely going to be in what is, you know, a better glucose harmony. We're not going to have insulin resistance. We're not going to be worried about things like insulin sensitivity, prediabetes. We're going to make sure that all of our organs are functioning properly. So it goes beyond just, you know, hey, do I have a regular workout routine? When you focus on strength and resistance training and can have a healthy amount of muscle mass, no matter what, you're doing things for your body quite literally at the cellular level.
Okay. Well, very good, Chase. So for people that are listening that want to follow up, what's the best place for them to go to find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, so you can come join us over at Everforward Radio. I do 2 episodes a week, Monday, Wednesday, and it's a myriad of different walks of life, professionals, influencers, scientists, authors, anybody that I find that really embodies a way to move forward in life, you know, no matter what life has, you know, the cards they've dealt them. And then how does their message help us live a life ever forward? So that's kind of where I sit and unpack the long format versions. And on social media, you can follow me at Chase_tuning, where I'm sharing pretty much on a daily basis all the little nuances. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what's working. Here's where I'm, you know, struggling physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's a very just kind of live journal of my life and what I see going on in the world. And then, like I said, the podcast is where we get to sit down and talk about it more long format, usually with an expert or someone with significant experience.
Okay. Well, very good. Chase, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hopefully this information helped your audience and get them to just start thinking, you know, a little bit differently about the choices they make and why they make them and why your health and wellness is so important, and hopefully a little bit help them move forward, ever forward.
Excellent.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius Podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at FindingGeniusPodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.